How do we do a roll?
I do have to do the running script, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
And Tammy, is Director Walsh online by any chance? You're muted, Tammy.
I'm checking to see if she's the one on the iPhone. I haven't got confirmation yet.
We can start, and then if she signs on, we can go back to checking her in. That's okay.
Confusing me, and I'm easily confused.
All right, shall we begin? Good morning and welcome to the October 16th, 2025, City of Alameda AC Transit ILC hybrid meeting. No action shall be taken during a disruption that will prevent members of the public from offering public comments using a call-in or internet-based option. This meeting is being recorded. For the members of the public who have dialed into this meeting by telephone, you must press *9 to raise your hand when the agenda item you would like to speak on is called. The committee secretary will unmute you at the appropriate time and call the last four digits of your phone number. If you are attending the meeting via Zoom, you may use the raise your hand feature and your name will be called when it is your turn to speak. If you decide not to speak, you may dial *9 or click lower your hand in Zoom. We request that all speakers clearly and slowly state their name for the record and make sure their location is quiet and that all other audio devices are turned off. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes to present their comments and will be notified when their time is up. I will now turn to the chair to open the meeting. I do want to point out that Director Walsh is available online, and Director Walsh is the alternate for this meeting. However, we do have a quorum, so Director Walsh, do you want to participate as a committee member, or would you prefer to just listen in? If you participate as a committee member, we'll just give you the just cause questionnaire.
Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person today to fill in as alternate. I'd like to just observe and participate remotely, if that's okay.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
And feel free to raise your hand if you have a question.
Thank you so much.
All right, so on to roll call, representing the city of Alameda. We have Mayor Ashcraft.
Present.
As the alternate, and Councilmember Desai.
Present.
Representing AC Transit, we have Director Young.
Here.
And Director Syed is absent. Director Walsh is participating as a member of the public.
Okay, well, we did the roll call. Are there any public comments and or announcements? Hearing none, why don't we move on? I don't know what we do with agenda item number 3, you know, with the previous LLC meetings. Is that something we want to discuss? Or
only if there are questions from the committee or the public. But otherwise,
hearing none, why don't we move on to the main discussion items. Number 4, free bus pass program for seniors and people with disabilities. Update City of Alameda. Thank you.
Thank you. To get this started, I want to introduce Liz Escobar, who some of you have met before. She is our wonderful paratransit coordinator. And I also wanted to acknowledge that Morris McKay is here. He is the lead of the Mastic Senior Center, where the paratransit programs run out of. So go ahead, Liz.
Good morning, everyone. As Lisa mentioned, my name is Liz Escobar, Paratransit Coordinator. I'm excited to be here today to provide an update on the Free Bus Pass program. This initiative is part of our commitment to enhancing mobility for older adults and people with disabilities in the city of Alameda. As we aim to move away from using the term paratransit, I would like to introduce to you our newly rebranded program, Alameda Connect. Alameda Connect will serve as a new name for all transportation programs and services offered through the City of Alameda, meaning the Free Bus Pass program, the Alameda Independent Mobility program, and all outreach events will fall under kind of this umbrella name from here on out. We can dive into our program update. Next slide, please. So our program this year has reached its highest membership level yet, with a total of 960 participants. However, we do have a wait list of an additional 65 individuals who are very eager to join. In June, I implemented a strict renewal process for the fiscal year 2025-2026, which has resulted in the deactivation of 263 passes. This effort aims to ensure that passes are available to those who truly need them the most, and to remove those who are no longer eligible, such as those who low income status has changed and are now not considered low income, and for those who have moved out of Alameda. As it stands now, we have a total of 697 current members. It's important that we continue to support our active participants while also working to reduce our wait list, as this is a very popular program, as AC Transit is a very highly utilized service here in Alameda.
If I could pause, I think the slides are not showing off the Zoom, so if I have to... There you go.
Cheers.
Thanks, Crystal.
Sorry.
Oh, you got it.
Do you have it there? Okay.
There you go. Thank you.
Looking ahead, we do have plans to begin clearing our waitlist in November. I'm super excited about this because I have at least two people every single day, even on my days off, and Maurice can attest to that, who come in and inquire about the free bus pass program. And we have to turn them away because it's currently closed. Next slide, please. So before I end, sorry, thank you. So before I end, I'd like to take a minute to just briefly touch on these lovely pictures shown on the screen. I'm excited to share that I recently launched a new travel training workshop designed to help older adults and people with disabilities gain the knowledge and confidence they need to travel independently and safely using public transit systems. The workshop included a brief presentation followed by a field training trip using AC Transit bus. For the first trip event, we did travel together to a local farmers market. The trip was very successful and we received overwhelmingly amount of positive feedback from the attendees. And I look forward to providing more travel training workshops monthly or quarterly throughout the year. With that, I would like to close with a huge thank you for your continued support and commitment to providing transportation accessibility in Alameda. And any additional information, you can click on our link and we have information on our programs there.
Thank you for your presentation. I'll open it up for any public comment first and then we'll take questions or comments from members. Any questions from the public? Okay, hearing none, I will open it up to the floor here. I believe Mayor has a question.
I have a couple of questions. Thank you for that great presentation, and I'm very enthused about this program. What I'm trying to understand, and maybe you can help me, is if the highest program membership was 960 and the current membership is 697, why do we have a wait list at all?
So we did just finalize a renewal process where we were able to reduce the number to 697. We just concluded that at the end of September, and we're hoping to take the opportunity for to look at our cost and member and ridership levels in the month of October to see if the trends did decrease a little bit so we can begin to open up the program.
Okay, is it a matter of funds available?
So we're at the peak of what we can afford.
I see.
And coincidentally, the number of people that were removed from the passes after the enrollment period, enrollment renewal period, was about the same as the number of non-active enrollees. So you see we have 290 people who weren't using their passes on any given month. And then we had 263 who didn't renew for whatever reason. So we know that some of those people are the same people, because why would you renew a pass that you're not using? So we just want to watch the ridership for the month of October, 1 month, and then make sure we can afford to let people off that wait list. We think we'll be able to, but it has a little bit of uncertainty, and so that we're just taking 1 month extra to.
Okay, I get the explanation. And so is a participant considered non-active if they haven't used the pass for 1 month? Or is it more than that? Because I just think that someone could be ill, somebody could,
sure.
And there could be a number of reasons besides that they're choosing not to use this anymore. And at the same time, when we're talking about 1 month, 1 month can be a long time for someone who has a hard time affording transit and needing to get places. But I can see there's a process in place.
To clarify, we didn't remove the non-active people. We removed the people who didn't re-enroll, whether because they didn't have, you know, they weren't low income or they weren't residents or they didn't do it. So the non-active is just, on any given month, we had about that number of people who didn't use it. And so there's some uncertainty about which ones were the ones who weren't using their passes that didn't enroll, renew their enrollment. We're just taking a month to see what the trends are.
Okay. And before you remove someone, do you reach out to them?
We did make an effort to reach out to them a few times.
Okay.
It was a long process. It started in June.
Oh,
yes.
And concluded in the end of September.
And last question, and I love that you did the training recently and took folks to the farmers market, and you mentioned for both seniors and also persons with disabilities. Have you ever done a presentation about this program to our Commission on Persons with Disabilities?
No, this was our very first event, but I would love to.
Coincidentally, I'm in the process of interviewing applicants for, there's an opening on the Commission on Persons with Disabilities right now, and so when I talk to Lily and Jules this afternoon, because we're going to finish our interviews, if it's okay, I could mention that this would be a great program to have presented at the Commission. All right, thank you so much.
Following up on her question, unless there's an additional question, with respect to the waiting list, do you guys, for the people who are on the wait list, are you suggesting that they enroll in the Clipper Start program as a means of at least lowering their costs while they're on the wait list? I know this has been an issue of discussion at AC Trans of how to get more people enrolled on that program. Any thoughts or comments there?
Yeah, so what I've been doing to kind of supplement that or the having them on the wait list is I do have Kim Ridgway from AC Transit Accessibility Department come in every month, the first Friday of each month, and she issues senior Clipper cards. The majority of the folks are over 65, so they come in and they'll apply for the senior Clipper card. But I have not been suggesting the smart card, so that would be another great resource.
Okay, we would really appreciate
absolutely
increased enrollment on this. Any work you can do on that would be much appreciated.
Yeah,
it sounds like you guys are at funding capacity, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, it turns out, and Mayor can chime in on this, that potentially the passage, if there is the passage of SB
63. Oh, SB 63? Which one? Oh, okay, sorry.
Well, it passed. Well, the governor
signed
it.
Yeah, well, the governor signed
assuming
it.
The, assuming the actual ballot initiative passes, there's going to be an additional $10 million coming to ACTC that is going to be awarded in some sort of way that's up to the discretion of the body. I know that I'm pushing for that money to be awarded to the free student bus pass program, but it certainly makes sense to open it up to free senior passes as well. And I just want to put this out there for you guys to talk to your member on ACTC and, you know, make sure that we push for that, assuming the ballot measure passes.
Assuming it gets to the ballot.
Assuming it gets to the ballot, and we have a couple of hurdles.
We're assuming that. It's going to take all of our work.
So, unless there is any additional comments on this item, I want to thank you for your time. And why don't we move under item 5, realign implementation update AC Transit.
Sure, I can take this one, and then Mike can jump in with any details. Good morning, Robert Del Rosario, Director of Service Development and Planning for AC Transit. As many of us in the room are aware, we implemented our realigned new network plan on August 10th. So it's been in service for about a couple of months, just over that. I will say that from an operations perspective, the rollout and implementation itself was fairly smooth. We didn't have too many lost operators. Everyone was aware. Both the public and our operations were familiar that there were significant changes coming on August 10th. We do have some bus stop work that needs to be completed. There are a lot of bag holds up there, out there, and then we have to replace those with some decals, and so there's a significant amount of work that needs to be done on the bus stop side, but we're making a lot of progress. Overall, there were 1,500 stops that had to be adjusted, and we have a pretty skeletal size full crew that is responsible for that work. The target is to try to complete a significant amount of the bus stop final work by the end of the year. So we know that there were significant changes for the city of Alameda, and it has had some impacts on ridership patterns, both Transbay and local. Some of the ones we are aware of and we've tried to address on the field, Line O, we know that there's some overcrowding on Line O, primarily as a result of the changing of the OX, with that being combined with the W. The OX is no longer an option for Line O riders. And so we're seeing some crowding there. We've been able to deploy a standby bus whenever available to help manage the loads on Line O. One thing to also keep in mind is that when our board went through the approval process for Realign, they had to make some very tough decisions about where to invest their resources in a cost neutral or even a cost deficit environment. And so a lot of the focus was on trying to focus, improve frequency on the local service. But coupled with that is that you have, I think, a big push of return to office, particularly in San Francisco. And so I think we're seeing the impacts of that now. Line 19 was the extension to Alameda Point. That one, the running times need to be adjusted, and we're aware of that, just to get that route on schedule. It's one of the most challenging ones that we have of all of our network changes that we know we have to fix. Line 31, of course, there's the change to the airport. We haven't heard much, maybe one customer comment about the loss of the service to the airport. It didn't have very high ridership before that. And then on the other end, which may affect Alameda residents less, is trying to serve both Skyline High School and the Chabot Observatory. So that may be a great connection for some folks in Alameda. The last one is Line 96. That service, we on the Oakland side, we've connected it to Brooklyn Basin, which is something that we were really intent on in serving new developments in the plan. But I think serving Brooklyn Basin has created some travel time changes for folks who are going from Oakland to Alameda, particularly the, I'm trying to remember the school, the Academy, on the west side.
Academy of Alameda.
Yes, I think that's it. Kids have adapted and families have adapted, but we have been talking to families and we look like we may, it looks like we're seeing if we can shift the schedule a little bit to better accommodate those trip patterns. So those are the issues that we're primarily seeing in Alameda. We do have a January sign up where we want to try to make adjustments and see what we can do to address some of these comments and challenges, trip pattern changes that we have heard about. So we're looking closely into that, particularly if there's any resources for capacity improvements, say on the O, or reliability improvements, fixing the schedule on the 19, adjusting that trip on the 96. So we're looking into, of course, we're again operating in a resource neutral environment. So that's the challenge in all of this, is trying to get creative with the resources we have so that we can address these things. And these aren't just unique to Alameda. There are also similar issues that we've seen in other cities. And so it's all a moving of the shell game to try to make sure that we can best use our limited resources to address some of these issues. So hopefully we'll have more news as we go in terms of what we can do with our January service change. So with that, I'll pause and see if there's any questions. I also want to point out that we do have our newly appointed Chief Operating Officer, Aaron Vogel, in the audience. So we've been working very closely, our two departments, on trying to address a lot of issues that we've seen with Realign.
Thank you for the presentation. Why don't we open it up for any public comments? Okay, hearing no public comment. Do we have questions from members of the committee?
Of course we do.
Go for it.
Thank you, Robert, for that update.
Yes.
You mentioned when you were talking about the line 19,
yes,
to Alameda Point, this is your most challenging one. Why is that?
The schedule we put out there, there's a couple things, and maybe Crystal can jump into some details. The schedule we put out there, it didn't have the runtime that we thought it should have, basically. But I think the second piece is a lot of the detour work that's going on out there on the Alameda Point side, and so trying to navigate through that, and I think it's dynamically changing, and
yeah,
so we're trying to figure out what's the best route that we can put out there that can avoid the detours. Crystal, is there anything else you want
to
add?
Yes, there's been some frustration with operator confusion and delays associated with that extension into Alameda Point. We realized kind of early on that there was a missing street sign out in Alameda Point.
Only one?
It was probably just taken out sometime during construction, forgotten to put back in, so we brought it to the attention of the city. It was addressed very, very quickly. So thank you to city staff so much for helping with that. We've also been coordinating with city staff to clarify the current and upcoming road closures and detours into the point so that we could better plan those detours. So that should help address the confusion.
I was gonna say that city staff could probably help with you. Were you gonna add anything, Lisa?
I haven't had it, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Public Works Department.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Connect
yes,
with, I think both base reuse and economic development and public works, which are both out at City Hall West, but I mean, you can, Lisa's a great conduit, so. Okay, thank you for that clarification. Yeah, it's challenging even for those of us who drive, who live here, so.
Question and a comment. The question is, from the outset, you referenced something called few lost operators. What does that mean?
Lost operators?
Yeah.
Did I mention? So operators who may not be familiar with the routing.
Oh,
okay.
Not that we lost them.
Yeah.
And I guess my comment, but thank you.
Yeah.
I think my comment is, I do notice, because I take the first O when I take the bus, I do notice that it's getting a little bit more full.
Yes.
You know, because I always like to, you know, get the first seat in the front, because I love the front because of the big window and all that kind of stuff. It's like, several people have already taken it.
Yeah.
So I do notice that.
Yeah.
Are people
standing there?
No, we're not at that. No, I mean, at that
early.
Yeah, no.
The 7:30 a.m. trip is the one that has impacted the most, where we are seeing standees or possible pass-ups, and that's where we're trying to bring in the additional vehicle to help with that.
A co-worker who lives in Jack London Square wants to catch the O when it comes out of the tube, but unfortunately
By the time you get closer to even Webster on the O, along Santa Clara, it'll start to get very crowded.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, comments? Hearing none, why don't we move on to item six, named Measure B Bus Project Repurposing Update.
I'll take that. Thank you. Lisa Foster, Transportation Planning Manager for the City of Alameda. I'm just going to give a very quick verbal update on this one. As you all know, the city has been working toward repurposing the funds from the named Measure B, the bus project that was in the 2014 Transportation Expenditure Plan for Measure BB. Most recently, it was set aside for the Ralph Alpizada Memorial Parkway Bus Lanes project, and then the realign process did not, you know, identify that as a next step, and so we are repurposing it for transit-focused multimodal projects on Lincoln Avenue, Marshall Way, and Pacific Avenue, Stargell Avenue, and Westline Drive. And this body discussed it in January, and then the City Council approved the concept in May, and the AC Transit Board in June. So the update is that at the end of September, as you know, the Alameda CTC Commission voted to initiate a 45-day comment period to make this amendment to the TEP. And that comment period ends in mid-November. And then at that point, Alameda CTC staff will return to the commission to report on any comments received and to recommend final action. And then that would, approval of the final commission resolution would be early next year.
Great. Public comment on the item. Okay, hearing none. Questions, comments from the floor? Thank you for the update. We are well aware of it, and obviously we'll continue to work together to hopefully get it passed at ACTC.
You were in the room when it happened.
Okay, moving on, status briefing items. What do we do with that? Are you asking for?
The status briefing items we can go through. Yes, so we can also provide updates on these items. I will put it on the first row.
Great. If we have any updates on any of the status briefing items, to the extent that we have them, why don't we present them? If not, that is fine as well.
Do we have any questions?
Yeah, this is Vika.
Sorry. Yes, this is Vika. Yes. Thank you.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Hi everyone, Brian McGuire, Land Use Transportation Planner for City of Alameda, and in this case, also one of the city appointees to the Alameda TMA Board, and our board president, Mike O'Hara, also here, can add to the update. Just maybe a quick, we just, hot off the presses, we got our third quarter update from the Bay Pass MTC staff dashboard, which shows thus far in 2025, we've got about 1,500 and change active users of the Bay Pass and the Alameda TMA, which is our Northern Waterfront redevelopment area projects, as well as our Alameda Point folks. That includes city tenants and new development residents and commercial properties that have been sold and have employees. So the Alameda TMA purchases AC Transit Easy Passes, and then the Bay Pass is an add-on to that program. So it's in its this is the second full year of the Bay Pass add-on, and we're seeing thus far about 148,000 trips through October on the Bay Pass, and 33% of those trips are on AC Transit. Really sort of, you can kind of get an idea of pretty balanced ridership on this pie chart, showing AC Transit as the leader with 33%, although the ferry is catching up to y'all with 30% of the riders, as well as 22% on BART and 13% on Muni. And then, you know, it's good on all 22 transit agencies in the region, so folks are using it for Caltrain and even the Smart Train up in Marin County, et cetera. So, you know, we've got folks who are using it a couple times a month, as much as people who are using it as much as four times a day. So really seeing some people doing trip connections between agencies, really reducing those barriers. Next steps on the Bay Pass, we're actually meeting with Bay Pass staff today to discuss the sustainability of the program. We pay full fare to all the agencies. They have to do this sort of projection on the ridership, and the costs have increased, and they're increasing a little bit more next year, and we're looking at the budgets of the Alameda TMA, which relies on tenant transportation fees and development impact fees, basically, for transportation to fund that. So we're trying to figure out how sustainable that program is, or if we have to make some modifications, looking at some potential solutions. We've got some employers at Alameda Point that are much more employee dense than others, and it starts to break the economics a little bit for the funding that is available. So that's what we're working on. Mike, do you want to give any other
things? We're thrilled with the results out of the Bay Pass thus far, and we want to figure out how to, we will figure out a way to implement that, continue to implement that, and we're thrilled to hear they've got funding slated through 27, I believe. So, so we're very excited about that. The results are phenomenal. We're hearing anecdotal things too that are really noteworthy, such as people saying that, you know, it's a huge reason why they're staying employed in Alameda is because of that, because they've got an opportunity to do that. And so from an economic development standpoint, there's some tremendous benefits to the city. So the only other thing is we do have a meeting with staff tomorrow regarding the Easy Pass continuation. We've been in contract for several years, and it comes up every 2 or 3 years, and we're at the end of our current contract. So we're meeting tomorrow to get that rolling, so there's no gap in coverage. So anyway, we're thrilled with the way things are working right now with you all. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the update. Do we have any public comments? Hearing none, do we have any questions, comments from members of the committee? The floor is yours.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Great report. Nice to see you. So how many, so, well, I think Brian answered the question as he was explaining. So I was trying to figure out the difference between Bay Pass and the Easy Pass, but Bay Pass basically covers all the transit systems. And
exactly. So the we can't do a Bay Pass without the Easy Pass. Okay. So the baseline is everything that we do, we have to starts with the Easy Pass. Okay. So that's all AC Transit, and then the Bay Pass add-on is. Covers all of the rest of the transit agencies in the Bay Area. Okay. So it's really a pretty amazing piece to add, to add on, to give, especially with Alameda. With I heard this stat the other day, the only city with more than one permanent stop on the ferry system, which has three, so it just kind of blows everybody away.
We try to keep that under the radar when we're talking to WIDA, but we're an island, so anyway, but yeah, so.
It was, I mean, it just, so I think that ties in quite well with Alameda point and everything, so, yeah.
So the phrase, so how many Bay Passes are out there? How many?
So we have currently 2,600, eligible participants from whether it's the residential projects or the employers, mm-hmm. Although that number may be a little bit outdated, it needs to be updated similar to the senior bus pass program, and going into next year to make sure we've got the right number. And there's 1,537 of those eligible are active, which means they've actually used their passes this year. So that's a slight decrease in utilization in terms of number of active participants from last year, and we think some of that might be folks who have maybe dropped off or not using it. And we've had some, we're in the midst of some staff turnover at the TMA. It's a mighty 1.5 FTE organization, so it could be, you know, as we're onboarding our new general manager, hopefully imminently, we'll re-up that outreach to improve that utilization rate.
Got it. And the cost, what is the cost of the program?
So this is pulling out of my memory, but it's a little over $100 a year per person for the AC Transit Easy Pass. And then the Bay Pass is about a $200 add-on on top of that. So a little over $300 a year per person. Which is obviously a significant cost, but it's a significant benefit to sort of reduce the friction between all these different agencies.
And the TMA is able to fund 100% of that?
So the TMA's budget is comprised of three basic things. First is there is some CFP funding at Alameda Point. There is a portion of that CFP that's allocated for that. There is tenant, Alameda Point tenant rents that a portion of those funds are utilized for it. And then the third is homeowner assessments that go through HOAs, et cetera, that HOAs are property management companies if it's an apartment. And those that funding is guaranteed by project approvals for those projects. And so they're not specifically tied to one particular thing, but it's typical of residential developments, they'll have a mitigation measure that requires the provision of an easy pass for every household. And so
I was on the planning board for 6 years, yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
okay.
To supplement that, to date, the TMA has been able to cover 100% of those costs. We probably dipped into the reserves just a tad this year to cover the increased costs.
Mm-hmm.
The marginal increase for next year is not going to be as big, but the question of whether it is, you know, whether there will be need to be any tweaks to how we structure the program to cover any potential shortfalls. But we're very close. I think we can, we'll figure out a solution, but it may take a little creativity.
Please. Just to add on that, I'm sorry, one other thing is that those funds that are collected are utilized for multiple programs, including Woodstock, you know, including the Alameda Water Shuttle. So that's, so it's trying to tie a direct correlation between one or the other. All that money kind of goes into a pot and the TMA distributes it for their various programs.
And when you say there's 2,600 eligible participants, 1,537 active, but are we just paying for the 1,537 active? No.
So it's an insurance model, right? So everybody who's eligible pays. I think the Easy Pass model is maybe a little bit different. There may be a price break, I think, for the bulk discount. The Bay Pass add-on, the way that MTC was able to get the agency buy-in was that the Bay Pass pilot would fully reimburse agencies for the cost of the trips taken through the Bay Pass model, which, you know, for MTC is a policy question, for policymakers is there a way to get the agencies to buy into this idea? Well, people are taking, you know, I think Bay Pass would tell you potentially 40%, 30, 40% additional trips because they have the Bay Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, is there an opportunity to get a little bit more of a value proposition for the partner organizations to make sure it's desirable, they're getting an extra value by enrolling everybody. But everybody, it's paid based on enrollment.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And perhaps additional marketing. I just think, gosh, if I'm a homeowner and I'm paying out HOA fees, I'd want to be getting my money's worth out of it.
Sure. Yeah. The way the program is administered is the potential user has to enroll. They have to notify.
Yeah,
they have to opt in. That's exactly right. So, it's been something where we continually trying to get the word out there, outreach, door hangers, you know, pop into the leasing office. All of those kind of, you know, touch points are really important, and we do implement all of them. So.
And one of the reasons the cost went up so much in the second year was, turns out, we used a lot more transit than the Bay Pass folks thought we would in the first year, so they had to sort of adjust. So the more we use, the more, like, they're gonna, if the current structure of the program, they're gonna essentially adjust the cost of the program for us for the next year, right? And so they're sort of looking at past data to project the cost of the future. So, yeah, sort of, we are doing that outreach, but it also, the more we use, then the program, successful program ends up being short of funds.
All right, well, that's a great program. Thank you for all that information. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Why don't we move on to item number 8, if we have any updates there.
Thank you.
Lisa, do you have an update on OAAP, or do you want me to?
Yeah.
Either way. So Oakland Alameda Access Plan, I think we're all very familiar with this coming construction for what will be a great project, but of course we have to go through construction phase. This is a project led by ACTC in conjunction with Caltrans to better connect the tubes to 8080. So the construction itself will have significant impacts. I believe construction will start in the beginning of the year. I think the start will be with the Webster tubes, Webster tube, and then that will have like a 6 month period where the single lane will be going through the tube. And then I believe the Posey Tube follows with a 12-month period where it'll be a single lane going through the tube. Obviously, there's lots of impacts to City of Alameda residents, also AC Transit riders. There are lots of meetings and coordination meetings going on with ACTC, both on communications and planning. From my perspective as the head of planning for AC Transit, there will need to be a decent amount of collaboration between now and the end of the year to make sure, or even just to understand what the real impacts are going to be to transit. Fingers crossed, this is like a LA Carmageddon situation, and you know, people are gonna figure out other ways to travel, but we can't plan for that, obviously. So we have a decent amount of work and coordination to do here to figure out what will be the best thing to do for our transit service, as well as how can we adapt as the project progresses in construction. So I don't know, Lisa, if there's anything else you want to add to that update.
I can say, you know, Caltrans doesn't yet have the full proposed schedule from the contractor yet. Once they've had that and digested it, then they will share it to the technical teams, AC Transit, City, and we'll get some more details. I know that Caltrans, which is taking over communications for the project for construction, are planning, once they have a schedule, so some months up down, public workshops in Alameda and Oakland. Any updates on the bus only lane on 7th Street?
Only that City of Oakland has committed to it, which is a big plus for us. And then as well as anything that we can do about optimizing signals for transit along Broadway, I imagine that that left turn from Broadway to 7th will be a challenging one during construction. So Oakland's doing what they can. Again, it's a condensed period of time, so we just gotta start moving and make sure these things go into action.
Okay, any public comment on this item? Hearing none. Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Mayor, the floor is yours.
So I'm the vice chair of AC, Alameda County Transportation Commission. I will say that our new executive director, Tony Tavares, is taking this project extremely seriously. I finally feel that Alameda is getting the attention and recognition that it deserves, that this is, and as I've told them, I'm a huge proponent of this project. It is not only getting cars from the tube to 880 faster, it is the pedestrian safety aspect, getting through on there when you turn onto 7th Street, when you come out of the tube. People have been hit, people have been killed, and it's also the air that is that the residents of Oakland Chinatown and West Oakland are breathing, and the higher asthma rates and all that. So the benefit is going to be wonderful, especially for Oakland. All of the burden, virtually all of the burden, most of it, is on the City of Alameda, but we get it, it's worth it, but it has to be done to get our public transit users and public safety and people who live and work on and off the island moving. So what Tony has committed, and he's brought in Susan Chang, who is an engineer previously with Caltrans, and he brought her out of retirement, but she had experience from the Cypress Mandela, taking that freeway down and getting things going again after the earthquake. And she is overseeing this, and already she has told me that the contractor, which is Bay Cities, I want to say, is working to reduce the number of months of the closure. So as Lisa said, we'll know more when we know more, but I do feel that we've finally succeeded in getting Alameda's needs known. And then I think we just all have to keep an eye on the communication piece, because we went from May until August with zero communications from Caltrans. They had last said that, well, the bids came in over budget, true fact, but it didn't, you know, the project didn't stop. And so then the rumor mill started, and people were, oh, this is going to happen, and oh, and they're going to build the bridge from Oakland to Alameda, and that's going to take care of it. Well, they will eventually, but not before this project. But so I really leaned on them to you gotta get out of monthly communication. I don't care if you, all you're saying is nothing has changed since last time, but heck, we do have a contractor, even though the bids came in over budget, we've got a contractor and they're moving along. So hopefully, and we will all lean on them, we'll get that regular communication between now and the project start date. But AC Transit, you and public safety are like top of mind for me to make sure that your schedules can be kept. This is just so important. Thanks.
Thank you for your advocacy.
Appreciate your support on the board.
Yep. Want to move on to item 9. We have an update there.
We have Will Buller, our traffic engineer.
Yeah, hello, Will Buller, AC Transit traffic engineer, but I'm here supporting Maria, who will be given up.
Good morning, Maria Henderson, External Affairs Representative, Legislative Affairs and Community Relations at AC Transit. So with Park Street TSP project, Transit Signal Priority Project on Park Street in Alameda, that's from Blanding down to Otis. We have been coordinating closely with the city. We've completed the first stage of design and we're proceeding to the final stage of design. There are two steps in the design process and we've completed the first step. We are trying to complete this work before the Oakland Alameda Access Project per the city's request and direction. And we will be presenting to the City of Alameda Transportation Commission in November or December of this year. So as of this time, we are just trying to make sure that we can expedite the work before the Oakland Alameda Access Project starts. And that's all I have today. And Will is available. He's our traffic engineer who can answer any technical questions about the project.
Thank you for the update. Do we have any public comment? Hearing none. Do we have any questions or comments on the floor? Hearing none. Okay, why don't we move on to item 10. There is an update there. Otherwise, would you move on to item 11?
I can do that one really quick. Chris Lane, Transportation Planner at AC Transit. Your agenda packet includes the attachment with the performance summary for lines that are operating in Alameda from May through August. Like Robert said earlier, we don't have too much realigned data available just yet, but from what we see in the table, ridership has been pretty consistent. Most of the lines are meeting our on-time performance target, 72%. You can see for August that line 19 and the Transbay lines were struggling, and that can be attributed to the routing confusion and passenger overcrowding that Robert discussed earlier, but we are continuing to monitor it and address it as we can with the limited resources that we do have. The agenda packet also includes information about the customer complaints that we've received, and the ones that stand out really are, again, the 19, the 2021, or 3031, and then the Transbay line of overcrowding.
Thank you for your update. Do we have any public comment? Hearing none. Do we have any questions or comments on the floor? Looks like zero. So why don't we move on to item number 11, next meeting.
The next meeting is February 12th, 2026. And then we have the rest of the year scheduled out, June 11th, 2026, and October 8th, 2026.
Okay, fantastic. Planning request, future agenda items.
Without going into this item in detail, if I may, the proposed ILC restructuring will be going to the board on October 22nd, and we've taken most, if not all, of the recommendations that came from the ILC about how to conduct ILCs in the city of Alameda. So we'll be able to report out of those at a future meeting.
Okay. Announcements. No announcements. This meeting is.
Oh, I guess if I could just make one comment briefly. I just wanted to say that the memorial service that AC Transit did for our former director, Chris Peoples, at the end of September, was it? Mm-hmm. Was just lovely. And I met bus drivers who had driven for AC Transit for more than 30 years, and they talked about how Chris Peoples knew their names, listened to their concerns, and I mean, that was just Chris, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, lovely job.
That was great. Thank you for your attendance. With that, this meeting is adjourned.
Nice to see everybody.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.